Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
So thanks again for all of you for joining today. This is a teleconference for WebSphere Portal on System Z, specifically for the healthcare industry. We're very glad that you're here today. So let me introduce our speakers, and then we'll go ahead and jump right in. First, you guys are going to hear from Joe Preston. He is IBM's worldwide portal healthcare solutions leader. And then after that, he's going to transition right in. We're going to hear about the value of portal specifically on System Z from Jim Wright, who is an IBM Executive Lotus consultant for System Z. With that, Joe, I will hand it off to you and let you run with this.
Okay, thanks, Zach. So good morning, everyone. My name is Joe Preston. Like Zach had mentioned, I'm on the worldwide portal sales team, part of the IBM software group, specializing in portal solutions in the healthcare industry. So I understand that you have the presentation today. So there is some slides that are some build slides. So if you put it in presentation mode, I'll prompt when to switch to the next slide. Some of the things that I want to talk about today, just to give you a bit of an agenda, is some of the industry challenges that we're seeing in the healthcare space, both from a provider perspective for patients and for clinicians, and then from a payer's perspective, from members and from brokers and from providers, et cetera. So when I talk about patients, so I'm talking about patients in a couple different perspectives. So patients, they could be a patient of a healthcare organization, or they could be the member of a healthcare plan. So on slide number two, so some of the strategic objectives that we see within the healthcare, some of these objectives include improving the overall patient care, increasing patient satisfaction and loyalty, improving organizational efficiency, and lastly, spending more time focusing on healthcare innovation. So on the next slide, we see that these common objectives, they're patient-centric. By communicating better with patients, you can improve the care to those patients. By delivering a better patient experience, we'll help increase patient satisfaction and help to drive loyalty. By improving the patient's experience, this includes empowering patients, which also empowering patients and physicians, which also translates to being able to deliver a higher level of care and other high value add activities. And then we'll also talk about innovation, being able to free people to focus, to be able to free the providers to focus more on delivering care, right? So on slide number four, what are some of the key challenges we're seeing? Payer and provider organizations typically integrate across numerous administrative and clinical systems, including financial systems. Oftentimes, these separate systems hold different information about the same patient or about the same member. So clinicians need real-time, integrated, and actionable information to be able to improve outcomes and to reduce medical errors. And this is often coming from multiple applications. In these applications, they typically have different logins, they have different interfaces, they lack the interoperability or the flexibility or the openness that we see in some other industries today. As I said, some of this information, there might be some patient or clinical information that resides in multiple back-end systems that a user has to log in many times to be able to find particular information. Some of the other challenges is the ability to drive strong customer service and awareness. By being able to provide things like online bill pays and scheduling and check-ins and automated registration and access to personal health records, et cetera, being able to drive the self-service applications that we're seeing elsewhere. And then using the analytics to be able to analytics to be able to realize the value from the data, being able to affect outcomes, or being able to more effectively manage healthcare plans and in your business. And then be able to support point of care collaboration within the clinical community, all while reducing costs and driving efficiencies. So on slide number five, you know, is a parallel track to some of the challenges that we saw on the previous slide. There's an ever-increasing demand driven by the Internet expectations of patients and members and physicians from everything that we do on the web. You know, the expectation has been set high by other web-based applications or organizations that we interact with on a daily basis. You know, making the ability to make airline reservations or check into a flight or monitor that flight status can all be done online. You can today safely complete sophisticated transactions like buying a car or buying insurance online. You can do things that require a high level of security, like managing investments, managing retirement account banking, et cetera, online. So patients want to be able to do these things also. Do things like check eligibility, check results online, being able to get diagnostic results, being able to get common questions answered or pay bills online. Physicians want access to all of the patient information and all of patient access really at a single source, and being able to do things like facilitate referrals. So you see from a survey that, you know, there's a high percentage of the respondents of this survey want to be able to receive this personalized medical information online, or medical alerts, or being able to, from a physician's perspective, online charting and monitoring for clinical monitoring chronic conditions, the ability to view the tests online. So the drive is to be able to provide more of these services online, meeting that expectation. So on slide number six, so what are we seeing in this space from a provider's perspective? Being able to create a number of different portals, patient portals, employee portals, and clinician portals, all being built on the same common infrastructure. Right? So I'm going to go into all of these in a little bit more detail. So if you on to slide number seven, so with over 6,000 or 7,000 installations, IBM has seen the WebSphere portal implemented by organizations to address many different challenges. So specifically within healthcare, we've seen portals implemented that make it easier for patients to interact with both providers and with the payers, portals that make it easier and faster for physicians and clinicians to work more effectively and efficiently. So really, we see organizations leveraging WebSphere Portal's flexibility to deliver more than one type of application on a single platform, all on a foundation that's built on open standards. So if we go to the next slide, slide number eight, you know, one of the things that we also see is elevating the Web 2.0 experiences within this portal experience, being able to combine the Web 2.0 with collaboration and with social tools. Now, companies are elevating this Web 2.0 and collaboration advances to help differentiate themselves to potential customers. You know, we see them incorporating. We've incorporated the social networking within portal to help seamlessly integrate people with experts, with peers, with communities, to share knowledge and to share insight about products and about issues and about services, while all contributing to a company's growth, being able to provide these sort of services. So we see companies becoming trusted resources and endearing themselves to their patients or to their members by adding a number of in-context resources people need, you know, things like personalized news information, or affiliated content, or business information, or online education, the ability to become a trusted resource for any sort of healthcare information, to be able to find a specialist, to be able to participate in communities of interest around things like chronic disease management, et cetera. So more and more, we're seeing this Web 2.0 and social networking capabilities as part of a user experience within within healthcare. So if we look at slide number 9, the reality today that patients are customers, right? So much so that they do need to be viewed as consumers. With the growth of consumer-directed healthcare and health spending accounts, it's leading to increased flexibility and more choices for patients on how they spend their healthcare dollars. The same consumers, they're accustomed to doing everything else on the web, from banking to shopping to utilities to education to being able to interact with their state and local governments, et cetera. So the expectation is being set that, that the consumer wants to these services provided online. They're accustomed to these services in other aspects of their professional and personal lives. So this is the expectation that they're looking for from their provider organizations or from their payer organizations. So millions of consumers, they do research medical information on the internet today, right? They do go to sites like WebMD, for example, to be able to research conditions, to be able to research about, drug interactions and other things, but they can't schedule appointments, so they can't pay bills online. So they're able to spend some of the, being able to find some information online, but not all of the information that they're looking for. So being able to derive consumer-driven strategies will help differentiate the healthcare deliver provider and the payer. The largest growing segment of the payer market, for example, is to the individual consumer, right? So it's being able to market, having a channel to market to those consumers and to help drive the loyalty of those members within the organization. So if you go to next slide, slide number 10. So what type of portals are healthcare organizations implementing? So really, as I said, I break it down into two different areas, into the provider area and into the payer area. So in the provider space, it's patient portals for doing things like online bill paying and scheduling and check-in, being able to maintain personal health records, automating the registration process, being able to get information on chronic disease management, and then also used by healthcare providers for a vehicle to market their services to consumers. Clinical portals, this is the portals for the physicians or the hospitalist, being able to find clinical information about patients from multiple different back-end sources to be able to provide point-of-care collaboration, automate the referral process, and get a single view of the patient. And then operational portals, intranet portals. These are providing HR functionalities, provide dashboards for decision support, being able to help measure a hospital's KPIs to help more efficiently and effectively run an organization, being able to have the facility views or compliance reporting or alerts, et cetera. On the payer side, primarily we see member portals being able to find personalized plan information or trusted healthcare content or be able to provide a directory for providers. A provider portal for processing claims or for access to data. An employer portal to be able to manage reports and eligibility, HR support, et cetera. Then on the broker side, customized product information or being able to do things like calculate commissions or be able to... Hey, that, memory commission. Zach, is it possible to put calls on mute?
Yeah. Could, well, let's see. Is
sounds like somebody might have gone on hold.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's see here.
So, I'm trying to continue if you can hear me over the music. So,
all participants have been muted, but you can unmute your line by pressing *6.
Joe, can you hear? I think that maybe you have to unmute your line now, star six.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody else is on mute right now except for you.
Okay. All right, thanks, Zach. Okay, so on slide number 11, I talked about earlier in the presentation that healthcare organizations have used IBM technology for a number of different uses, from physician portals to analytic dashboards to patient portals, member portals, et cetera. So in the provider space, one of the compelling starting points is the patient portal, being able to one of the most compelling starting points is the patient portal. It's being able to empower patients to help drive increased satisfaction and loyalty, to help providers compete more efficiently, driving down costs and efficiencies by doing things like reducing call center volumes, eliminating paper-based forms in an organization and the manual processing that are associated with that. So typically, as organizations embark on these portal-based projects, the patient portal is often a compelling starting point because there is a very quantifiable ROI, which I will go into in a little bit more detail in a case study. But this is typically a starting point. So on slide number 12, because we typically find this as a starting point, what we've done at IBM is offered this jumpstart offering, something that we call the Healthcare Accelerator. This is to help providers deploy a compelling and a personalized patient web experience via their web portals. So it is a pre-built, completely customizable patient portal site that combines the WebSphere portal technologies with some self-service functionalities. So it features some of the high-value capabilities that I've talked about around things like being able to pay bills online or schedule online, being able to provide other capabilities such as some physician blogs or some nursing blogs, some analytics, et cetera. So it's a collection of portlet pages and portlets to help do the things we've talked about around increasing patient loyalty and satisfaction, decreasing operational efficiencies, increasing a time to payment, and reducing the time to collect. And again, I'll go into a little bit more detail on a case study on this. So on slide number 13, there are many high value capabilities that this healthcare accelerator has to offer. But probably the two that are the most compelling are the ability to either view or request or schedule appointments online and to manage your appointments online, and then to make payments online, to be able to view payment histories and to be able to submit the payments. So there is really measurable business benefits from these capabilities, being able to do this online. And again, it's what patients are looking for, the ability to manage this type of functionality online, right? So on slide number 14, some of the other functionality within the Healthcare Accelerator, health reference, being able to present health reference information. And the example I have here is using Adam Multimedia Encyclopedia, or be able to market medical services, or be able to find a doctor, being able to find a specialist and facilitate referrals. So at slide number 15, so here's a summary of the features. So they're pre-built pages and portlets that you can use any or all of these within an implementation, plus create new pages and portlets that are inherent with the tools that are shipped with Portal, the development tools, et cetera. So it allows you to not only implement this functionality, but implement additional functionality as your needs in the organization grows. So, like I say, these are fully customizable. So these are the ability to jumpstart patient portal offerings within an organization. So on slide number 16, so it's the you know, being able to provide those portlets as a starting point is, it helps to jumpstart that. But, you know, forward-looking healthcare organizations also tend to look at other experience, you know, such things as, virtual office visits, being able to find a doctor via profiles. So it's more than just looking at the specialist and demographic information, but being able to really find a great deal of detailed information on that physician that, you know, maybe include some communities and some blogs and a great deal of additional information. Or being able to find provider blogs, the latest news and tips and information from doctors and specialists across communities. Being able to provide things like web conferences, both inside the firewall and outside the firewall. From outside the firewall to be able to do things like preventive care, being able to have, web meetings or conferences around things like nutrition and diet and health and exercise around, chronic disease management, or inside the firewall, being able to provide distant learning or online education. Now, healthcare, of course, it's a 7x24 business. So it's difficult for a third shift nurse, for example, to be able to attend a seminar that's scheduled for, 11 o'clock the next day, right? So being able to provide this as a distant learning vehicle to be able to help the healthcare providers keep up with the latest news and information and compliance within the organization becomes very helpful. So these are the sort of capabilities that can be added on to the Jumpstart offering around the Healthcare Accelerator. So at slide number 17, as I said, I was going to go into a little bit more detail on the ROI information. But I do have a case study that I wanted to briefly go through, and this is a case study involving Duke Medicine. So on slide number 18, Duke Medicine was looking for a way to innovate around the way it provides information to its patients. So in the past, things like account and billing information was provided either through a customer call center or directly through the mail. So with the growth of the patients and these customer requests, Duke wanted to create a new and flexible communication channel for its patients. Right? They believed that this new channel could offer the patients simpler access to their medical information, as well as doing things like managing bills and payments and access to online information such as diagnostic results, et cetera. So simply stated, that the vision was to transform the way we communicate and interact with our patients. All right, so on slide number 19, Duke's vision was to create a single, personalized, and simple-to-use access to information information point via the web for the patients, and then of course for the internal users. But in the real world, healthcare institutions and Duke is no exception around this. Achieving that vision can be difficult because the healthcare they're typically multiple systems. So in Duke's case, there are multiple billing and patient management systems, including GE and Siemens and Meditech, over 100 different clinical systems. McKesson, Cerner, GE, et cetera. So in this multi-system environment, a multi-vendor environment, the integration is very critical. So what their vision was to create a comprehensive solution to be able to not only have the portal information, but be able to manage content, being able to manage workflow via electronic forms, to be able to collaborate, and to be able to all manage this within their own environment, so have the proper development tools in which to build and support this environment. So on slide number 20, that the Duke's time to value was really quite compelling. So within the first year, they had an 18% increase in over their non-web payment collections, and over a $200,000 increase in revenue due to the avoidance and the reduction of things like lost bills and missed payments. But one of the compelling uses that they got out of this was to reduce the burden on call center operations. So typically in a 4-month peak period, they would get 20,000 calls. So after implementing this, they realized a 50% reduction in this call during these peak months. So what that was able to do was free the time of these customer service representatives to be able to focus time on more high value add questions for their customers and for their patients. So that equated to an annual savings of over $200,000, by the reduction within the call center. And they also had a reduced time to collect. So, 82% cost savings from the collections and over $10,000 net cost savings. And this is the information. This is information from a Forrester research study. So this is the information from an independent analyst that went and looked at Duke's implementation and at the value they got from this. And so, but there are some other benefits that weren't collected through this study. So things, for example, like the reduction in no-shows. So because their patients were managing their schedules online, being able to create an appointment online and get an email reminder of that appointment, that if they weren't able to make that appointment, as they got the email notification, they were able to log back into the system and either cancel that appointment or schedule it for a more convenient time. So what they also got from this was a dramatic decrease and the number of no-shows they had. So it was able to make the physicians much more efficient in less downtime by patients missing appointments. So as you look on slide number 21, so they had an estimated break-even payment of between about a year and a half and a little over 2 years. But those were the quantifiable benefits. But they also had, what Forrester also noted in the study, that they will realize more longer-term benefits from increased patient satisfaction, higher retention rates, and the improvement of the quality of data through the consolidation of the corporate silos from which they were pulling the information from in the past. They had mentioned that they did have a very complex environment with multiple different clinical and administration and financial systems for doing things like managing patient data and managing scheduling and the financial information. So if you go to slide number 22, you know, not only was there the financial benefits, the financial ROI on this, there was also a number of IT benefits. So, the IT benefits, they were not part of the ROI report, although they're just as compelling. So, Duke was able to create these back-end systems, connect to the back-end systems via an SOA web services. So, by using the web services as the universal adapter for connecting to legacy information, legacy data, or by vendor-provided applications, they were able to reduce the complexity in connecting to these back-end systems. And they're also able to hide the IT complexity from the internal or from the patients, from the internal user or from the patients. And in that box on the bottom, so this is really one of the more compelling statements, that that the IT staff finds itself able to add functionality faster than the users can absorb it. Now, typically from IT staff, those aren't the sort of quotes that we see, that they're rolling out functionality quicker than the users can adapt that sort of functionality. So this is really a very compelling statement on how they were able to utilize not only the technology but the tools in building the applications and maintaining the connectivity to the multiple different back-end systems within the Duke infrastructure. So on slide number 23, so it said that this the information that I had from this was both from from some independent analyst reports, both from a Forrester report and from a study that that Gartner had produced on behalf of this. So these are some information from some analyst reports. So on slide number 24, so moving from the patient to the clinical side, so the clinical portal provides everything that a clinician or a physician or a hospital needs in order to do their job, providing this information, real time, providing it in support of the patient care, being able to provide things like continuing education, as I had mentioned, or research information, or an effective way to communicate within the entire team to be able to facilitate the point of care collaboration across the entire continuum of healthcare. So on slide number 25, with so many use of clinical systems that healthcare organizations tend to take a best of breed approach, right? And that has placed a real burden on the end user, on the physician or the nurse or the hospitalist, to be able to manage different passwords, different logons, different navigation, different interfaces, et cetera. And this becomes even more complex in large organizations where a physician may be affiliated with a number of different hospitals, so that compounds itself in being able to manage the credentials to be able to log on to multiple systems, to be able to affect diagnosis, and to be able to effectively manage a patient's care, and to be able to increase the safety and the outcomes for the patients. So on slide number 26, so this can be a real drag on the clinician. You know, they might have in a typical scenario, from the multiple different systems they're going to need from, in this example, from an emergency department system to a clinical data repository to an ECG to a PAC system, that they log on, they locate the patient, they find results. They go to the next system, and it's the same thing. They'll log on, they'll locate the patient and find results. And not only are they managing different credentials for logging on to different usernames, different passwords, different navigation, oftentimes they may be using different patient identifiers, maybe a patient number, maybe a patient name, et cetera. So not only is it the difficulty in logging on and finding the results of this patient, but the inefficiencies of having to enter the patient data into each of these systems as well, right? So on slide number 27, so the solution is to be able to sign on once, locate the patient once, and then auto-navigate to the results for all of the applications. So from a single desktop-like application, being able to manage the information from all of the various different back-end systems that a physician or a nurse or a hospitalist needs to do to affect a diagnosis and the treatment of a patient. So on slide number 28. So this is done through, primarily done through a business partner application that we use called CareFX, and an application that they have called FusionFX. So it will be the combination of the CareFX solution and portal running the content management provides consistent content no matter what the back-end clinical system, whether that's a CCOW or a non-CCOW participating application, an HL7 event persistence store, or other clinical information databases. So being able to have, access information from multiple different back-end systems like Meditech, like Eclipsis, like Cerner, et cetera, being able to find information from financial systems or HR systems like PeopleSoft or from Lawson, and being able to run this all with this by managing the credentials to manage the credentials for all of these different back-end systems, but also manage the context of that patient. So put that patient in the system once, and let the context broker within the CareFX solution manage that, taking that patient from system to system to system to help manage that that outcome. So on slide number 29, so it's empowering the informed decisions. So it's taking all of those different back-end systems, the different logins, the different passwords, the different navigations, and being able to unify that into one desktop-like application. So it unifies the existing applications, the login credentials and the passwords, the access to patient data, and then the application auditing, all through native web access. So it's taking all of these multiple different systems and different passwords from the physicians, and being able to put it all in context on one screen for a physician to look at all of the information to be able to affect an outcome. So on slide number 30, I've got also a business case on the clinician portal. So this is Catholic Healthcare West. So Catholic Healthcare West, it's a number of different hospital organizations. It's the seventh largest healthcare provider in the United States with over 40 hospitals. So it's a very complex organization where a physician, may be affiliated with a number of these hospitals. So again, that just adds the complexity in being able to manage credentials and manage information. So they were trying to create the online community integration and integrating things like search and the web content to be able to recruit and retain clinicians and physicians within their organization, and a comprehensive and efficient channel for distributing this sort of standard information. So if you look at the chart on slide number 31, so some of the challenges that they had, multiple login IDs and shared passwords. So between the shared single sign-on and the context management and the portal solution, being able to reduce the average number of logins from 5 to 1. So it eliminated the multiple and maybe even shared passwords within an organization. Interfaced with Cerner as the back-end system. So through the deployment, it was able to act as a bridge to Cerner to eliminate some of the Cerner interfaces and deployment lifecycle. And then being able to provide remote access to the system. So it didn't require a client application because all of this information was provided via the web. So any of the back-end information that did require a client, they were able to the solution is able to provide remote access to those systems, so the nurse or the physician is not limited to collecting this information from a particular station within a hospital. On the business side, the business office process required as many as 11 different applications, so they were able to reduce that down to one login and one password for account information and other of the business office processes. And the HIM experience they had as many as 5 applications for charting, completion, and coding, but again, able to reduce these down to one login and to provide the context management. So if you look on slide number 32, here's just a couple of the quotes from Catholic Healthcare West, and some of this was used in helping to calculate their ROI. Saving 2 to 3 hours per day, so if you take the total number of physicians, looking at saving of 2 or 3 hours a day by reducing some of the administrative burden and putting them in front of patients for those additional 2 to 3 hours a day, look at the additional number of patients they were able to see on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis to be able to see how much of an increase in efficiencies and increased productivity per physician within the organization. And then being able to manage the things like charting and flow sheets, et cetera. So you can see that from the statements and from the testimonies from the constituents within Catholic Healthcare West, that it was able to free up some time and increase the efficiencies within the organization. So now if you go to slide number 33. So shifting gears a little bit to the payer side. So what type of portals are payers spending on? So payers are implementing member portals, providing things like self-service and access to personal information or trusted health content or the plan information, provider directory, et cetera. Provider portals integrate access to data and provide self-service information to member information or being able to check on eligibility or claims processing, et cetera. And the consumer portal, being able to compare plans or look at network information or to be able to locate a provider. Because as I had mentioned earlier, the largest growing segment of the payer market is marketing directly to individual consumers. So being able to provide that rich user experience to the users and be able to give them the tools and information they need to compare plans, to locate physicians within, inside, and outside of the networks to be able to provide this all the tools and information they need to help market to those individuals opens up a new channel to be able to sell to the individuals. But also there's the traditional channels of selling, the brokers or the producer portals, to be able to provide self-service to access for speed in enrollments or even renewals, being able to provide customized product information to those brokers, or giving the brokers access to member data and the tools to support their overall book of business. The employer portal, being able to simplify the benefits administration by things like reporting and seamless access to information, and being able to manage plan eligibility, et cetera. And then the employee portal, the intranet portal, being able to provide that HR functionality, some HR self-service functionality, or being able to provide composite applications to help, whether it be in a call center application, to be able to look at the multiple different centers, multiple different applications within a call center, or within other aspects of the provider organization, and being able to facilitate the processing of claims. So as you look at what healthcare payers are spending on all of these portals, you'll notice that a number of these portals do include self-service functionality. You know, self-service is one way to help drive efficiencies in an organization and to help drive down costs. What tasks and what functions can be provided via self-service as opposed to what functions need to be provided by a customer service representative, both on the member side and on the broker side? So the self-service functionality is one of the big areas driving portals within the payer space. As I talk about self-service on slide number 34, one of the components that helps drive self-service applications is the use of electronic forms. Forms automate business processes, and most of the processes within an organization are kicked off by a form, whether that be an electronic form or by a paper form. Most processes are kicked off by some type of a form. So being able to use a Lotus Forms to be able to accurately and completely collect the data and be able to facilitate straight-through processing to one or more back-end systems helps drive efficiency in an organization. It also creates an auditable, compliant record of the complete business transaction. And these forms are both applicable in as a departmental solution, but also as a as an enterprise solution. You know, quite frankly, from very simple business processes to very complex and potentially very multi-page forms, and those multi-page forms are obviously the ones that are going to have a greater propensity for errors in not only collecting the information, but rekeying that information. So if you look on slide number 35, so what are the components of the electronic form? The presentation layer. For compliant organizations, regulatory compliant organizations that require pixel-perfect duplication of the forms, the form has the ability to create that exact copy of the regulatory form. And then through a guided interview or through a wizard, being able to take the end user through how the information to complete the form, but also being able to pull information from maybe a back end system. If they already logged into the system, there might be some demographic information or some plan information that's able to pull in automatically that doesn't need to be rekeyed. Collects the business logic, being able to capture that information and being able to integrate the workflows within the forms. So the business logic within a form, that it may be anywhere from an enrollment form within a healthcare plan, for example, that asks history questions such as, are you a smoker, yes or no? If it says no, it goes to the next question. If yes, it may branch off into another set of questions to get some additional detail on that. So it just makes it a much more efficient way to collect the data by having that business logic in there. And it also helps to to collect the completeness of the information. So it doesn't allow any fields to be left blank within the form. Or there might be some forms that are looking for a particular data set, social security numbers, ID numbers, et cetera, that if there's an error in that, then it doesn't allow if it's expecting a particular data set and it's not there, then it corrects that as you go along. Data instances, being able to integrate with different back-end systems to facilitate some straight-through processing by sending transmitting the information via the XML to back-ends. And then file attachments, being able to attach files to the record. There might be additional medical history information, et cetera. So being able to take the ability to have attachments as part of this form. And as you see on slide number 36, also being able to create a digital signature on the form that puts this into once it's signed, puts it into a secure sort of e-envelope, so that it could be taking multiple signatures or multiple sign-offs within the form, being able to digitally signature this, or being able to use an external, either a signing pad or even biometrics with that, and being able to take all of the data elements, including the attachments within this, and putting this into this e-envelope. So if for compliance records and for auditing, all of the information involving that transaction is stored in one place. So the attachments or the signatures or the other logic is not stored in other facilities. That it's all stored within the form once that form has been signed. So so I talk about what's going on in some of the drivers within the payer space, as I talk about self-service. That forms is one of the real drivers within that self-service environment. So skip over slide number 37. Sorry, I did not delete that slide from the presentation. So slide number 38. So what are some of the impacts on e-forms within the paper-based process? There's the obvious costs. There's the cost of the paper, of the printing, the transmission, the disposal of the unused forms, if there's any sort of revisions that need to be in those forms. And you can multiply that, and again, in a highly regulated environment, there might be some forms that are state-specific. So an organization may have 50 versions of a particular form, right, that if each state has a requirement around that form. So just being able to manage the forms and the printing, and then the storage and the archival costs. But then there's some hidden inefficiencies that also affect organizations around the lengthy process cycles or the incorrect or incomplete data on a form. If you have a form that doesn't have that logic built into it, that doesn't allow you to continue the form unless it is filled out completely, that is, it gets to a customer service rep, for example, then they may need to call back that member or that patient to complete the form for the information that was not in there. Or there might be some rekeying data or just the routing time for forms, or aggregating the forms across, or aggregating information across multiple different forms. So taking the same data, and if it has to be included in two or three different forms, the inefficiencies of having to re-enter that data more than one time. So on slide number 38, as I mentioned, forms is a real driver within not only within a self-service organization, but a real driver in helping to drive down costs within an organization. There is a very quantifiable ROI on forms around the things that I mentioned, the obvious costs around the paper production of forms, around the disposal of the forms, around the archiving forms. When I talk about forms, that here's some quotes from some Gartners that electronic forms will always save money, always save paper and the environment, and always create a more productive, happier user, and always make data more accurate. So the data accuracy alone can save millions of dollars in business processes. So What I'd like to do now is turn this over to my colleague Jim to talk a little bit about running these applications within the systems, the environment.
Okay, great. Thank you, Joe. I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Jim Wright. I work for the Worldwide Lotus Tiger team as an executive Lotus consultant, and my specific specialty is in System Z. So what I want to do here for the next couple of minutes is to really talk about where you should be running WebSphere Portal and stimulate a discussion with you and your local team as to what may be the best fit for you. We are going to focus specifically on System Z and some of the advantages of System Z. And I'm going to try and wrap up here in about, roughly 10 minutes so that we may have a few minutes afterward to have a Q&A session. So if you go to slide 40, we're going to talk briefly about selecting a platform in TCO, talk about deployment options specific to System Z, and then last, why System Z is a deployment option. So if you go to slide 41, if you take a look, most customers when selecting a platform choose platforms for any of the above reasons, you know, whether it's the strategic direction of the organization, power and cooling requirements, floor space, politics, scale, it's just knowledge of a particular platform. There are many different reasons that a platform gets chosen. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to take a look at some of the other non-functional requirements outside of these to get you thinking about more details as to why would I choose a platform. So if I go to the next slide, slide 42, I've worked with a lot of organizations selling portal applications and other applications, and typically what I hear from customers is, you know, will it run there? Meaning, will it run on AIX? Will it run on Intel? Will it run on Z? And how much does it cost? And that's typically the extent of the discussion that I get in most situations. So what we'd like you to do is that's a total cost of acquisition view. We'd like you to take a broader view. If you go to the next slide, take a look at some of the non-functional requirements. Like Joe had mentioned, in healthcare, these specific portal applications are 24/7. Your customers are requiring you to provide access to this type of information all the time. So is availability or specific service levels important to the application? And I would say absolutely. Also, if you take a look at the sensitive nature of the data that you're providing, you know, you're providing patient records, you're providing a lot of information that is very sensitive. And so security becomes a very big an important issue when picking a platform. So we'd like you to take a look at some of these questions and ask yourself more details when you're choosing a platform. So if I go to the next slide, deployment options from a System Z perspective, System Z is a great platform to deploy on because of its resiliency. When we talked, Joe talked earlier and I just mentioned, System Z has the highest availability and scalability in the industry. It still has is an industry leader as it relates to security. We have yet to have somebody hack a system. So when you're looking to choose a platform for some of those particular reasons, System Z is a natural fit. And also, everything that Joe mentioned in his particular presentation does run on System Z. So WebSphere Portal, the forms application, and we've also ported over the healthcare accelerator to System Z specifically. So if I go to slide 46, on System Z, I have a couple of different options for operating environments to deploy on. And I'll highlight a couple of these advantages so that you have at least a starting point for a discussion. So if I look at the different environments, I have Linux on System Z, and I have ZOS. Linux on System Z is an excellent platform if you're looking for consolidation. And I'll show you an example where this has been true, especially at IBM internally. We're typically seeing a consolidation of anywhere from 3 to 5 to 1 consolidation of cores from a distributed platform over to Z Linux. So not only can you save on potentially license costs, but you save on administration costs, you save on energy costs. As a matter of fact, if you have an existing frame and you're just adding an IFL to that frame, the actual power costs are equivalent to that of a light bulb. So it's significantly less expensive than a distributed platform. So ZOS, the other option that we have, ZOS is an excellent option when it comes to quality of service. It's still the highest quality of service operating environment. Also integration. So if you have applications currently running on DB2 or other ZOS platforms like Kix, IMS, it is an excellent platform from an integration perspective to provide you the best performance and scalability. So next slide, why System Z? Here's a case study on slide 48. These are some of the reasons why IBM has chosen to run WebSphere Portal on System Z. And what we found is that the performance was more consistent. It was actually faster than running on a P-Series environment, and we were able to have higher utilization of the servers, so therefore we were able to manage the resources better as well. The one thing I really want to highlight here is with all the green initiatives out there, we were able to save just in power alone on this one application the equivalent of roughly 9,000 average U.S. homes. So that is real savings that we were able to achieve just by moving off of one platform to another. And the equivalent consolidation was from roughly 3,900 distributed servers to 33. So you can see that we were able to save quite a bit just for that one application. And then in summary, and I'm going to turn it over to Zach here in a second so that we can go through a Q&A. Not all hardware platforms are created equal. So when choosing a platform, take into consideration some of the things that I talked about. And I know I didn't have time to go into any specific depth, but we do have people locally in your geography that can help you through different TCO analyses for specific platforms, specific applications running on those platforms so that you can see the benefit for yourself, because not all customers are equal as well. So what I want to do now is thank you for your time. I want to turn this over to Zach. Zach, shall we open it up for questions?
Yeah, Jim. This is a pretty small group right now, so I think that we can just let whoever wants to go, ask their question. I wanted to introduce one more person we have on the phone to help us answer any questions. Eric Wuthenow, he's also on my team, so he's on the America's WebSphere and Lotus Technical Sales Organization. He's got lots of skills implementing Portal on Z. So whenever you guys ask your question, if you could do us the favor, identify yourself. You just give your name and then your organization. Ask a question, and then we'll try and moderate this to get the question to the right person, keep it organized. But just go ahead and shoot them out whenever you're ready.
Yeah, make sure you hit *6 because I think everyone was on mute. So *6 to come off of mute. Zach, I'm going to ask, and this is Jim Wright, I'm going to ask a question that I know the answer to, just to get it kick-started here in case anyone wants to know. Do we have specific references running WebSphere Portal, both in the provider and payer space, on System Z?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim. Eric can speak to this. We do have specific examples, and I'll let him address them. We can talk more in depth those in a more intimate setting, one-on-one. We can actually get customer references. But Eric, do you want to talk about some of the references that we do have for payers and providers? No?
I can go ahead and do that.
Jim, if you can go ahead and do that, that would be good.
Sure. Now, we have, from a provider perspective, we have a hospital that's right down the road from Joe, your example, Duke Medicine. It's the University of North Carolina Hospital. So, and as a matter of fact, it should be within 20 miles of Duke Medical. So there's one example that we have, certainly, and then we have quite a few of the Blue Cross Blue Shield organizations, and I want to mention Blue Cross Blue Shield South Carolina specifically because they have deployed forms and portal as well, and are looking at other particular applications. And I know for both, one of the reasons that they chose the System Z platform was the TCO. They were able to identify that would be the lowest cost platform for them to run those applications. And that had to do with, you know, all the things mentioned earlier.
Yes, also, UST Hospitals is using Portal on System Z as a research tool as well.
Good. Okay. Any other questions?
All right. Jim, Joe, Eric, I appreciate you guys taking some time. Everybody that's on the call, I would expect that we're going to try and reach out to each one of you one-on-one to get some feedback and to follow up. So you should probably be hearing from most likely myself, but it could be Eric as well, or maybe even Jim in the next couple of weeks. We thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, feel free to send us an email. I think that Joe had his email address on the very first slide, and he can direct those to us, depending on the nature of the question. So thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you.